Well, Mabel Louise, we've got quite a weather forecast, haven't we? 50 today, 60 tomorrow, 70 on Saturday. Wow. Yeah,
sounds like Easter is going to be nice.
Very, very nice.
And that's great. I made 29 calls yesterday for people at church to invite them to our breakfast.
Okay,
at the church, Crossroads Church.
Well, so you've been busy on the phone.
I can say right now, so if you're listening and you have no place to go.
Yeah.
Come at 9 o'clock for a breakfast free.
That sounds like fun.
Yeah.
Way to go. Way to go, Crossroads. Yeah.
Right. Well, good morning. Yes, it's a cloudy day out when I look out the window here at the studio. But you know what? It's just a reminder that we can smile. And if we do, that can bring sunshine to somebody's heart. You know, it's amazing what a smile will do to lift a discouraged heart. And my verse for today is Psalm 56:3, one of my favorites among many, many verses. And it's one that I gave my children when they were young, because you know how a child can have a bad dream and they'll cry in the night and want mother or dad to come and console them. Well, that little verse was one that I taught my children so that we could quote it together and actually calm their little hearts. And today I'll be calling a widow. She's 60, I think just 60 years old. Lost her husband. Started out with the flu. Turned into pneumonia, then double pneumonia. And then all kinds of complications, and he's with the Lord. So she needs some encouragement, and today I'm going to give her a call, and among the verses I'll share, this is one of them. In what time I'm afraid. And I remember when my sweetheart died, I needed the encouragement, and that little verse was just special to me, because I was afraid of the future. What do I do now? What do I do with my leader, my guide in the home? And so that little verse can be so precious. And by the way, it's so short that you can say it quickly. Let me repeat the address, Psalm 56:3. Well, I appreciate your turning me in today and letting me visit with you these short 15 minutes. And I want to continue on with my series on the 23rd Psalm. And today my subject is on the phrase, "Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over." So that's verse 5b of this particular psalm. So let's quote it together, okay? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You would assume that everything is beautiful in the high range where the shepherd takes the sheep. But summertime is the time for those awful pests. Yes, there are flies and deer flies and black flies and mosquitoes and gnats and parasites and you name it, and they're all prevalent. And it can bring really torture for the sheep. The flies buzz about the sheep's head and deposit their eggs on the damp mucus. and on those membranes of the sheep's nose. If they're successful, the eggs will hatch in a few days to form small, slender, worm-like larvae. Yuck. They work their way up the nose of the sheep's head and burrow into the flesh with intense irritation. That causes the sheep to beat their heads against the trees or rocks or posts or really any bush they can find. They even go so far as to kill themselves in a frenzy. They also get infection from the flies and can even become blind. At the very first sign of flies among the flock, the shepherd will apply antidote to their heads. He'll make a homemade remedy of linseed oil, sulfur, and tar, and he will put this all over the sheep's nose and its head. Then, once the oil is applied to the sheep's head, there is immediate relief for the little sheep. David would have done this very anointing with his sheep, and so he uses this term in his prayer to the Lord. And because he loved his sheep and he took such good care of them, he wants to acknowledge that the Lord has done the very same things to him, anointed him. Isn't it precious how the Holy Spirit directed David to use these sheep terms? For all of this actually was familiar to the people in the Holy Land. Almost all of the people started out as farmers, and almost all of them had sheep. When they read aloud this very prayer in the temple, they all relived their own experiences that they had with their flock, and then they applied it to their lives as a blessing from the Lord. That precious. The Holy Spirit knew that, didn't he? Have you ever heard the statement, there's a fly in the ointment? My parents use that term often. Yes, it's a sheep term. And I've heard this said many times in the South by not only my family, but others. And how like all of us. Some tiny little incident can bug us, and we can get all out of shape. Well, if we allow it, it can rob our joy, and we can become so frustrated and all out of sorts. So all of us have irritations in our lives, and it's so easy, isn't it, to allow the fly in the ointment to take away our blessings. And usually it's some little petty thing that ruins our spirit. So if we want to rid ourselves of the flies, we need the anointing of God's gracious Holy Spirit to teach us how to be overcomers. I understand that the shepherd had to have put many applications of the medication to rid those pesky flies. And just so, we, you and me, need to apply many prayer sessions and many Bible reading sessions to rid those flies and irritations that come to us. Surely, we need the mind of Christ to have victory in our hearts and lives. Well, sheep just love to play together. They rub their heads together, and in doing so, they can spread another disease, and it's called scab, S-C-A-B. The shepherd has to apply the oil to control the disease. In Palestine, the old remedy for this was a mixture of olive oil, sulfur, and spices. This reminds me of how sometimes church members can butt their heads together. And if a person doesn't see eye to eye with another person, they want to be the big sheep, the one in charge. And there's a real problem that arises, and often, oh my goodness, often a church split. And in order to prevent this from happening, the believers just need to apply the precious ointment of the Holy Spirit in their lives. If you recall, the scriptures reveal that this very thing happened among the disciples just before the crucifixion of Christ. You remember in John 12, and it's also that stories in Mark and in Matthew, James and John and their mother asked Jesus to allow her sons to sit on the right side and not on the left with Jesus in heaven. Well, Jesus quickly informed her and the rest of the group that whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister. And whoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. And even as the Son of Many came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Another example of this is that in the fall, the sheep are mating, and the shepherd has to curb the battles between the rams and the ewes. The rams strut and butt each other. The shepherd has to apply axle grease, imagine that, to the head and nose of each ram, and the lubricant makes them glance off of each other when they fight and become frustrated. And that with the grease on them, they leave one another alone. And that's something. And another example of how easy it is to bruise and butt up against one another over some issue, and only the Holy Spirit can settle the problem. Whatever happened to agree to disagree and to sit down and work out problems? How prevalent we need that today, in our government especially. And I would be remiss if I didn't read to you what the shepherd D. Alfonso wrote in his little booklet. Here's what he says. The phrase, thou anointest my head with oils, my cup runneth over, is the statement of a daily task of a professional shepherd. At every sheepfold, there is found a big earthen bowl of olive oil and a large stone of water. As the sheep come in for the night, they are led along the side of the wall to the gate in one end. The shepherd lays aside his robe and his staff and rests his rod across the top of the gateway, just higher than the backs of the sheep. As each sheep passes him in single file, he quickly examines it for briars in the ears and in the cheek or the weeping of the eyes. And when such conditions are found, he drops the rod across the sheep's back, and it steps out of line, waits until the sheep have been examined. And out of his flock of maybe 250 ewes, the shepherd may find one or a dozen needing attention. Each sheep's laceration then is carefully cleaned. Then the shepherd dips his hand into the bowl of olive oil and anoints the injury gently. Along with the treatment, the shepherd's love words are poured into the sheep's ears in sympathy. Then the cup is dipped into the large jar of water, kept cool by evaporation, and it is brought out, never ever half full, but always overflowing. No wonder it says, my cup runs over. The sheep will then sink its nose in the water clear to the eyes if fevered and drink until refreshed. Then it allowed to enter the sheepfold, and he proceeds to care for the sheep. Isn't that a beautiful example of Jesus? If you've not read the Discourse on the Good Shepherd lately, it's a wonderful follow-up to the 23rd Psalm. John 10:1-21 will give you the insight of the Lord and how much he cares for his sheep. I recall when we were in the Holy Land that the people told us that each shepherd had a call and that the sheep would get out of the fold and follow him one by one. You see, they knew his voice and they wanted to allow their master to lead and guide them. What a lesson for you and for me. So my prayer today is, as I go off the air, is you will truly allow the Good Shepherd to be your Lord and your Savior today. It's been good to be with you. Bye-bye.